There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Rank 'em 1 to 5.
I've got the power.
NFL Power Rankings.
All right, Denton. Washington's 5-2. They destroyed a team that they should have destroyed 40-7. The quarterback injury is not long-term, we don't think. At least that's what Dan Quinn said. I take him at his word. So will Washington end up in each of our top fives today? I'll go first. I'll go 1 through 5. So I'm going to keep the Chiefs in at 1. They're certainly not overly impressive on offense, but they are when they have to be with the quarterback. They're being led by their defense right now. They're an excellent defensive football team. Right now, per DVOA, their rank is 4th in the league. Defensively, they're just behind Denver, Houston, and Minnesota. They're also, per DVOA on offense, they are 7th. It's a very good football team. It's just a team that we've seen now. You can't really judge them based on what they are in the regular season, even though they are 6-0. I've got them 1. I've got Baltimore 2. I considered Baltimore for 1, and I think if they played Kansas City in a regular season game again, I think I would probably pick them to win. I don't know about the postseason yet, but Baltimore's everything that, you know, offensively, what Lamar Jackson's become as a quarterback, it's just so impressive. He's a completely different quarterback, I think, now than he's been. We'll see if it manifests itself into a deep playoff run for the first time. But right now, he is the runaway MVP front runner. I've got Baltimore at 2. I know you're going to have another team ahead of this team, which is fine because I think it's very close. But I'm going to put the Lions in at 3. They're just so explosive offensively. Borderline unstoppable at times offensively, like Washington is. And defensively, you know, they don't have Aiden Hutchinson. It is going to be a big difference. Last week against Minnesota, defensively, you know, they did give up close to 400 yards of offense against Minnesota. Aaron Jones had a big day on the ground. Sam Darnold had a decent day. They sacked him a bunch of times. The key was they got a big pick, but they held Minnesota because Minnesota's defense scored to, I think, 21 points. I like Detroit. I think in so many ways they may be kind of the team of destiny in the NFC, but health is everything, and they've already had one major injury. But like I said earlier this week, the two showdowns against Green Bay this year for Detroit, November 3rd, kind of a late afternoon highlight game on Fox, and then I think it's a Thursday night game against the Packers in at Ford Field. Those are two of the biggest games on the schedule in the NFC this year. Lions-Packers matchups. 4, I've got Green Bay. They're a really good all-around football team. I mean, the Packers right now rank defensively 8th in the NFL per DVOA, offensively 5th. Jordan, remember, that includes two games they played with Malik Willis, which they were pretty decent in. This is just a really good football team right now, all around, well coached. I've got the Packers at 4. And then at 5, and I don't feel as good about it right now as I did last week, I'm going to put the Houston Texans in there. I still think Houston, by the way, excellent defensive football team. They have been shut down by, you know, a couple of really good defensive teams, the Vikings and the Packers. And I say shut down, they were not, you know, super, super impressive at times offensively against the Packers. C.J. Stroud was 10 for 21 for 86 yards passing at Lambeau on Sunday. He got sacked 4 times. Thank God they had Joe Mixon. That was their only way of moving the football. He had a big day running it. But I was a little bit hesitant because I'm like, man, Houston against the two best defensive teams on their schedule have really struggled offensively. But they themselves are very good defensively. I've got Houston at 5 and just, you know, on the cusp, I've got Minnesota and Washington. Your top 5.
All right, so we have very similar teams outside of one, just in slightly different orders. I have the Ravens at 1. I think Lamar's playing the best football of his career, and that's pretty impressive for a guy that's a 2-time MVP. On top of that, Derrick Henry is destroying this season, Kevin. I was looking at some stats, and I feel like now is a good time to actually like look at stats and see just, you know, how far ahead certain guys are. And if you look at the quarterback stats, you see like Geno Smith has about 50 yards separating him. He's the leading passer in the league. Between Baker Mayfield, who's 2. If you look at wide receiver, like Jamar Chase has 50 more yards than the guy who's sitting, which is Chris Godwin, at 2. And then you look at Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry, Jordan Mason is 2 in the league right now with rushing yards. And Derrick Henry has 200 more yards than he does. I mean, the guy is playing at an insane level. I can't believe that Tennessee thought he was some kind of washed up. Maybe they just needed to go in different directions. But that Baltimore offense feels like it is going to be impossible to stop as they continue to get better and better. And I think the Rashad Bateman coming on is very impressive as well. So I got the Ravens at 1.
So before you get to 2, Lamar Jackson was asked, I think yesterday or the day before, about Derrick Henry. And he said, I think he's going to set the NFL rushing mark this year. And I was like, what?
It's possible.
Well, actually, he's on pace to break Eric Dickerson's 40-year-old record. Dickerson ran for 2,105 yards in 1984. Right now, Derrick Henry at 124.7 yards per game with a 17th game, remember, he's on pace to rush for 2,120 yards. Dickerson, you know, did it in a 16-game schedule, and he broke O.J. Simpson's record, which was a 14-game schedule. So there are differences with that record with game count, but Henry's got 17 games, and he's on pace right now for 21-20. Keep in mind, if Baltimore is as good as we think they are and they wrap things up, he may not play a game late in the season, which maybe for the rushing mark. I'm going to bet that he doesn't get anywhere near that. In today's game, it is really hard to keep up that pace on the ground. And on Monday night, Denton, you know, it didn't start out that way. Like, he got basically most of his yards in the last quarter and a half.
Right.
You know, and he had another one of those massive runs. They all count. I'm not knocking it. He had an 81-yard run. But at one point in the game, you know, he had barely touched the ball, and Justice Hill was in there a lot more. And they were asking questions, the Monday night crew was, Buck and Aikman, like, why isn't Derrick Henry on the field? And then he came in and basically rushed for 169 yards in, like, you know, a half almost. Pretty impressive what he's doing. That's,
yeah,
for sure.
That's also going to be a really interesting coaching decision from John Harbaugh, and I'm sure Monken will be factored into this as well in terms of like the personnel decision making. Because if you are the Ravens, do you want Derrick Henry to break that record, or do you want to limit his carries at the end of the season to make sure he's good to go for the postseason? You know, not wear him out too much trying to chase a record that ultimately is awesome if you break, but at the same time, you're trying to win a Super Bowl this year and get back to the top of the mountaintop, which you haven't been able to do with Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, they'll deal with that later if they're lucky enough to be in that position. By the way, I basically added it up. Derrick Henry, of the 169 yards he had basically 149 in the last quarter and a half of the game.
That's insane.
Yeah.
He's only had 3 games over 20 carries,
though. It was a
weird
game.
It was a weird game.
For him. All right, who do you have at 2?
I have the Chiefs at 2. You know, I'm never going to doubt Patrick Mahomes. It would be foolish to do so, but it is worth pointing out that the passing offense this year has struggled. Now, a lot of that is because of injuries. Like, they're not having the drop issues that they had last year, but they are having issues with guys staying on the football field. Maybe DeAndre Hopkins fixes that. I would still take Patrick Mahomes over anybody in the NFL in a postseason game, but at least in the regular season, even though they are unbeaten, that offense does not look as impressive as it has in years past. So I have them at number two overall. And then I get to the NFC, my first team. I got the Packers. Yeah, I know you and I have been like almost debating this entire week. Do you like the Lions? Do you like the Packers? And we both have them really close to one another. But I'm just leaning with the Packers because I really like Jordan Love. And I think Jordan Love is playing really good football right now. I think the way that they have allowed him to, not slowly, but the way that he has gotten better after he got healthy. You know, there was that scare at the beginning of the season that he might be out for a long time after that injury in the Philadelphia game. But the way that he's been playing recently, I really like what I've seen from Jordan Love. And right behind them, I have the Detroit Lions. Because if you take Jordan Love and say he's the best quarterback in the NFC, which right now I think he is, I say you put Jaden Daniels at number two, and then you put Jared Goff at number three. And even with the loss of Aiden Hutchinson, I think that offense is very dynamic in Detroit, and Jared Goff has proven, at least over the last 2 years, that he's very capable of leading an offense to very high heights in the NFC. Remember, there was so much conversation when he was in Los Angeles about, is this more just Sean McVay operating through Jared Goff? Like, is Jared Goff this vessel for the greatness of Sean McVay? And I think part of that was true, but we're also seeing now that Jared Goff's actually a really good quarterback in the NFL.
Do you know what his completion percentage is in the last four games against Arizona, Seattle, Dallas, and Minnesota?
I do not. I would imagine it's very high.
83.5%.
It's pretty good. If you're going to allow that to happen on a regular basis, you're in trouble. Because they got dudes on the outside. I mean, Amon-Ra St. Brown is awesome. 83.5% is crazy.
He is just, he does not miss. If you protect him and you are able to be balanced with some running game and you get into the play action and you get into the boot stuff, he does not miss. He's a very accurate thrower.
He literally did not miss against Seattle. He was 18 of 18.
18 of 18 in that game.
Somehow he didn't have a perfect QBR.
He was 22 of 25 against the best defense in football, Minnesota, on Sunday.
With two touchdowns. He's not turning the ball over either, at least in the last three games. It's very impressive. So I got them at number four. And then I have the Bills at number five. I know you had the Texans there. I thought about the Texans, but I have the Bills at number five. I loved that Amari Cooper scored a touchdown this weekend, even though he didn't know the plays. But I love that he scored a touchdown. Getting him active, getting him acclimated is going to be really important because, as I've said a couple of different times this year, I didn't love their wide receiver situation. I don't even love Amari Cooper, but at least he is a number one option, whereas now you can kind of take a little bit of the pressure off Curtis Samuel and Keon Coleman and really off the tight ends because those were the number one options for a couple of weeks for Buffalo. So adding Amari Cooper there, I think, releases some of the pressure of the offense, and you'll allow Josh Allen to be Josh Allen. So I got the Bills at number five.
I think the Bills are interesting, too. I don't know what to make of them right now. I really don't. In the games that they were matched up against two excellent teams, they got blown out by the Ravens, and they lost to the Texans. Their wins are against the Cardinals, the Dolphins. That was the game Tua got hurt in. The Jags, the Jets barely on Monday Night Football, and the Titans. So I don't know what to make of the Bills. At least with Houston, you know, the offense is a concern against the better defensive teams, but they beat the Bills. They beat the Bears. They beat a Colt team early. They were right there with the Packers in a loss. I'm wondering if Houston offensively, if we're seeing a step back season from C.J. Stroud. You know, we need more. We need a bigger sample size against good teams and good defenses. You know, they'll face you know, the Chiefs. They've got the Titans twice. Good defensive teams. They're an interesting team. The AFC is going to be really interesting because right now it's clearly KC and Baltimore. But what are Houston and Buffalo? What's Pittsburgh with, you know, if actually Russ plays at a level that's much beyond what they've had at quarterback? Where does Cincinnati come into this if they get on a roll? Because they're certainly capable of it. Are the Chargers a playoff team? Are the Jets going to get on a roll? You know, we already talked about yesterday the Jets. I think maybe an underrated part of their 2-5 start is just how dominant the defensive teams they've played are on their schedule. You know, every single defensive team, every team that they have lost to has been a top 10 defensive team per DVOA. The 49ers, the Broncos, the Vikings, the Bills, and the Steelers. And they've got more of those coming up. They've got the Texans a week from tonight on Halloween. The NFL's great. The NFL is just so good because every year when you go into this, you think you know, but you don't. You don't. The 49ers are 3-4. You know, and the I guess we know a little bit about Baltimore and Kansas City. That's been a consistent theme. Who had Washington at 5-2? Who had Minnesota at 5-1? Nobody would be the answer to that. Seattle going to win the NFC West, Denton?
Maybe now. I mean, now that whatever is going on with San Francisco is happening, which is not a lot of good, as you know, maybe. I did see a funny tweet. Like, it wasn't that funny, but it was really funny that the healthiest wide receiver on the San Francisco 49ers on Monday was a guy that got shot 2 months ago because Brandon Ayuk is down. Debo Samuel is hospitalized with pneumonia. So they literally have no healthy wide receivers. If they can't get healthy, like Brock Purdy is not, he is not the quarterback that is going to, as they say, make a wide receiver. Like, I don't feel like he throws guys open. I feel like he throws to open guys. And eventually you're going to have to throw guys open if you're dealing with guys that cannot get separation the way that like Ayuk and Debo Samuel do.
What did Ricky Pearsall do in his first game? 3 catches, 21 yards.
Yeah, not bad for a guy that was shot like 2 months ago.
Yeah. I'm going to say that the 49ers win the NFC West. That they get it together, they get healthy, and they end up winning that division. You know, it's not going to be a great record. That's the opportunity that Washington has. You know, you got to look when they start, if they win Sunday, and that's a big if, okay, it's certainly, they're an underdog Sunday. And even if Jaden plays healthy, they're probably pick 'em -1 at best case. This opportunity in the NFC with the West down, with the South probably producing a 9-8 or a 10-7 division winner, the opportunity to be a top 2 seed in the NFC is legit. And that means you're playing, you know, 2 home games as a 2 seed. You got to play that first round. As a 1 seed, you get every game at home, and you only have to play and win 2 of them to get to the Super Bowl. You got to think about the opportunity that has presented itself to your team. Maybe you wait to see what happens Sunday next week in the Meadowlands. You've got until Tuesday, November 5th. But Harold Landry's a name that's recently come up. I guess there's some reports out there that maybe he's available. Tennessee's interested in, you know, moving on from him. He's been an excellent pass rusher. Tore his ACL a couple of years ago. Has a couple of years left on his contract. I loved Harold Landry coming out of Boston College. He's been, at times, a very, very good pass rusher. Would he fit in this scheme? Interesting. I don't know. Are there any ties with Harold Landry and the current coaching staff? I don't think so. But like I said to John earlier and Ben, I think, on Monday, even if they lose Sunday, I still think you got to recalibrate your recalibration. This is an opportunity that you're not guaranteed to have, even though you're doing things the right way. We'll certainly have more conversation about the trade deadline. In terms of Denton, a team outside of each of our respective top fives to keep an eye on, I would definitely say for me it's Washington, but I think that's kind of obvious. I guess the other one would be Washington's opponent Sunday. You know, you liked Chicago before the season started. The Bears are an excellent pass defense. Charge pointed that out. We'll talk about that more tomorrow. They have weapons offensively. This was the best situation for a #1 overall quarterback to go into in years because of the talent they have. I think Shane Waldron's doing a good job. I think Eberflus has always been a bit of an underrated defensive guy. I thought he was a very good coordinator in Indy when he was there before he got the job. I think a lot of people are surprised that he retained the job, but a good job by the Bears in being patient. Outside of my top five and nowhere near the top five right now, a team to keep an eye on, I would say the Chicago Bears. You know, if they come here Sunday and win, they're 5-2 with games against the Cardinals and the Patriots over their next 2 weeks before they have the first of two massive showdowns against the Packers. Remember, they have not played a division game against the Packers or the Lions yet. They haven't played a division game, period, yet. Chicago hasn't. They still have all six of their NFC North games left. It's probably best for them that they didn't play those teams early in the season, that they're playing them as they've gotten sort of Caleb more comfortable. The Bears are going to be an interesting team to watch. Did you have a team outside of your top five?
So I do like the Bears for reasons that you mentioned, but I'm going to look at the Pittsburgh Steelers. They're 5-2. They have the New York Giants this weekend, and this to me is a much different game because you're going to see what Russell Wilson is made of. We know the Jets defense has been very much underperforming relative to their expectations, specifically that pass rush. We look at the New York Giants, they got a pass rush. So will Russell Wilson be able to do what he did against the Jets to this Giants defense that is going to put significantly more pressure on him? I think if he can, I don't love Russ. I made that very, very clear. But I think if he can, you might see, Pittsburgh at that point be 6-2, and we might be able to have the conversation. Maybe we're seeing a little bit of that old Russell Wilson. So if they have a strong showing against the Giants, I would look at a 6-2 Pittsburgh team and say we might need to consider them.
I like that one too. I like that one a lot. By the way, somebody just texted me something that I want to share with everybody when we come back. It's a possible tie with a team that may have a player available. And we'll update you, Cliff Kingsbury speaking right now on the anything we learn about Jaden Daniels. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 98.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas. This is sports the way it should be.
The Team980.com. We're also free and live on the Odyssey app.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas. This is sports the way it should be.